As the children get ready to join us for the remainder of our service, I want to just read some scripture for you before I share a brief reflection taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 through to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. It was not the first time that God would break into ordinary human lives, in particular, reveal himself to shepherds. It was Moses who was busy tending sheep, as you remember in the Old Testament, minding his own business. A man who had perhaps reinvented his life and was seeing himself in a particular way that was interrupted by the divine visitation in a bush that was on fire but that was not consumed. It is there that God breaks in and speaks to Moses and calls him to his purpose and to his role. And then we think about David, this red-faced little boy who was tending sheep while Samuel showed up to his parental home and went through all his brothers, some of them looking like they would be the perfect king, and God whispering in the ear of the prophet that indeed it wasn't one of the striking, strong, kingly looking type of men that God was calling to be king. But it would be the young little boy, the youngest of them all, who was in the field taking care of his sheep. It seems that God appears to what in biblical times were very common people who did very common work. And he breaks in into their lives with a message that perhaps they did not anticipate or expect would come to them. I think it is very appropriate in this season of Advent that we recognize that God has not stopped the way he breaks into lives. He comes to ordinary people like you and me with this great, incredible hope and good news. Now, the response of the shepherds initially is that of fear, which I think if we had a divine visitation in the very provocative way in which it took place, perhaps we would respond the same way. Have you noticed that throughout the Advent story that when God steps in and breaks into the world and into people's lives, that the first thing that the angelic creature or being expresses is, don't be afraid. Why? Because I bring good news. And there's a sense in which when God breaks into our lives, perhaps there is a sense that we would respond with hesitation or even fear, but the assurance we have from the scriptures, the assurance we have throughout the Bible, the assurance we have in what happens at Christmas is that what steps into our life, what breaks into our life is indeed a reason for joy. It is good news. Because today, says the angels, in that town of Bethlehem has been born to us a Savior. If I may just ponder on that one phrase of today, at the time of Jesus' birth, the anticipations that the kingdom would come was prevalent, but there was a sense in which people didn't expect it to come like it did and in the way it did. And when we read in the scriptures the words of the angel to the shepherds, we hear this remarkable affirmation that things right now has changed, that God has stepped in and he has provided that which will change absolutely everything. The wait is over. The Savior has come. Throughout history, we as Christians live in that same hope. We cling to that same message that yes, we anticipate a second coming, but we recognize that he has already come in the person of Jesus. We live in that reality, and in faith we believe that the good news that has come is a lasting good news. I don't know about you, but when I receive good news, I think most of us are probably like me, it creates joy. In fact, when I saw the kids up here, I mean, how hard is it to keep from laughing? To find yourself finding joy in the simplest little things that they do. And yet it seems to me that joy can so easily be taken from our lives. But you see, the joy that comes to the shepherds and the joy that comes through the Advent story is not one that is circumstantial. It is not based upon having perhaps everything in our lives figured out. Let's be honest, even as wonderful and idyllic as the season is, many of us here are sitting and saying, but I still have issues and there are still problems and there are still shortcomings. But the joy that is expressed by the shepherds is a joy that is anchored in the pronouncement that the angels make that today things have changed. Good news has come. God is acting to save and to redeem and to restore. And that joy is not circumstantial, but rooted in the promise and in the work of Jesus Christ. That is why we can be joyous in all seasons of life when our joy stems from believing that which God has made possible through Jesus. You know, the danger of Advent season is that not only can we be caught up perhaps in the festivities and the busyness of it, but that we could forget what happened here and what happened so long ago and is still happening throughout our world today, is that God is still breaking into this world and he's still saving and he's still restoring and he's still healing. What can I say on a personal level as your pastor in this season? I think I want to encourage us to respond the way the shepherds did. They went to where Jesus was. They sought to make him the focus and the priority of their lives. I think there's a simplicity to the story that invites us to do the same, that Jesus is really the reason for the season, to use a cliche term. But let's be honest, Christmas seems about a whole bunch of other stuff these days in our world other than Jesus. And yet for us as Christians, the invitation is to be attentive to him. I know that you're looking forward to time off, so am I. I know you're looking forward to eggnog, which I don't know why they don't make available all year round. So am I. I know you're looking forward to the traditions of your family and the meals that we eat at this time. But as Christians, we draw into this season in a very intentional way. It is to be with Jesus Christ. It is to return perhaps to something that first stirred within us, something that created within us this faith that we have. And it is the person of Christ who is our hope and our life. We do so in simple ways. We do so by speaking about him to our children, for those of us who have children. For some of us, it means to just take the time out of our busy life and day to perhaps read the story of Christ or read the scriptures. For some of it, it means to make your way to a place of worship and service where we can be reminded that he is the reason we sing and worship and praise and give. And he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. I love that God chooses ordinary people to bring incredible hope to others. Shepherds are transformed to be proclaimers of God in how they worship. And if I could say, I'm quite subdued this morning. Are you impressed with how subdued I am? But if I could say this to us as a community of faith, the more I think about just who this Jesus is and what he has done, not only for me, but the hope he has for this world, we have a reason to worship and to praise him as often as we can. And though I have said to you, perhaps to not make you feel too uncomfortable about how you do so when we get together, whether you raise your hands or you put your hands in your pocket or you just look very contemplative and reflective, I believe that the shepherds caught a glimpse of the Savior in the pronouncement that forever changed their life. That we cannot manufacture such praise through music or through gimmicks, or through great services, or even great messages. Such worship derives from those who have seen the hope in Christ. And so this morning, if you are here and, you know, you're not a Christian, or you're someone who perhaps don't consider yourself to be very religious, I have to offer you a very simple invitation to perhaps consider that this Christ who has come into our world cares about your life, cares about the way in which you live, and cares in such a way as to bring the very same good news to you as he has for many of us today. And when we catch a glimpse of this Jesus Christ, may we respond in worship and in praise, for he is worthy. Amen.